Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Juicy Life. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Aaliyah.
And we are just so jazzed that you are joining us today to discuss what are the key ingredients to living a juicy life and how do we get more of that in our lives.
Jazz hands.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Today, we are going to be following up with part two of our conversation that we had 2 weeks ago in our last mini-sode, where we were talking about how to tune into your own unique magic. This time, we're going to be talking about how do you tune into that universal magic that exists all around us.
I don't know why I'm singing that, but yeah. Yes, that.
It's a magical song.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into all the juicy magic that exists everywhere, even when we don't know it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we talked about this in the last episode, but really, we believe that tuning in to your own unique magic and tuning into the universal magic that exists around you, when you do those two things together, you are a freaking force of nature, and you become like magnetic to the things that you want, to the life that you want to create.
Yeah, baby. You are in the river of life with a margarita flowing down with your besties.
Shit, yeah.
The sun is shining. Life is juicy. And you are just in the flow. Gosh, the times that I'm really in the flow in life, it feels like one door after another is just opening, like the automatic button is being hit and it's just like, come this way, come this way into the secret garden. Ooh, there's birds chirping. The sun is shining. It's just,
you just bump into that next person on the street that is like, I have the answer to the problem that you are struggling with. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like everything lines up.
100%.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm constantly like, what? Oh. Of course, this is
of course.
Yeah. Synchronicity everywhere.
So good. Yeah. So good. So we're going to talk about like three specific ways that you can do this. The first one is going to be abundance mindset. The second one is the power of perspective. And the third one is creativity.
Mm, yum.
Yeah. And we're both obsessed with this idea of magic, right? And we talk about it all the time. And some people are like, magic, what the hell are they talking about? So what do we mean when we say that? We are really talking about that universal energy that co-creates with us. That, you know, unexpected serendipity, good surprise, things working out better than we could have ever thought, possibility. That spark of insight that came out of nowhere, that gift that you received that came out of nowhere, that unexplained or unknown event that, you know, maybe brought some kind of gift into your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so, what am I trying to say? I think when we are in that magic, it feels like everything is inspiring. Like I feel like inspiration is such a great checkpoint to know that you are plugged in, because you are fueled by, your spirit is fueled by something that isn't just, you know, oh, I have this idea, I should do this thing. It's like, ooh, you've got this fuel under you that's like, I want to move in that direction. Ooh, I'm being pulled towards something and it feels delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, that inspiration is like this idea, a new idea pops in, right? That inspires you to do something. And I think that that's so key. When you're tuned into that magic or that energy around you, that is how you get inspired. That is how new ideas flow to you. So I looked up the definition of magic because I was curious. And the first definition I saw said, the power of apparently influencing the course of events by using mysterious or supernatural forces. The power of apparently influencing the course of events by using mysterious or supernatural forces. And to me, like inherent in that idea is the idea that we can create what we want, right? We can we can do that in ways that are not necessarily linear or tangible or understood or even explainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes me feel like I am invincible when I have the ability to almost slow down enough to feel into all of the possibility that exists for me. And it makes me feel like I am a kid again, in that sense of, like, I was just with my niece and nephew this weekend and we were playing and I was like, God, these guys are tuned into their magic all the time. Like,
definitely.
You know, now you're a purple giraffe. Now you're a monster trying to eat me. Now you're this. And it's just like the imagination and the possibility is just, it's endless. And you know, we get older and we shut all that down. But it's like just being absolutely plugged in to the possibilities that exist. And then if we expand that out into like what we know of energy, and I think about like when in your definition, you talked about tuning into the supernatural forces. Mm-hmm. And Joe Dispenza's book, Becoming Supernatural is all about tuning into the energetic forces that exist that we cannot see with our physical eyes, but that are there. And how do we use our energy and our belief and our perception to tune into that shimmering web, he calls it, of energy that already exists? And how do we become supernatural? And that's like this next level of magic that we're talking about that is scientifically being proven. But it feels like this sort of thing that is more witchy or like, you know, non reality based or something. But it's like, no, it's very real. It's very real.
Yeah.
It's just not seen and it's not commonly talked about. So now we're exploring like, how do we get into that? How do we become invincible? How do we become supernatural? And how do we plug into our own magic and the magic that exists around us so that we can essentially create things in a way that is much faster and easier and more fun than just moving shit around in this sort of 3D world. And that I feel like that the way I just explained it is a little bit garbly, but like it's hard to explain this world of energy.
Yeah, I think that the magic exists all the time. It's just not explainable to us, right? Like, and I think that it's because we're trying to explain it or understand it with our rational, logical minds. But that's not how we tap into it.
This is so true.
That's the disconnect, right?
Yes, this is so true. I was listening to an audiobook, and they were explaining like, the supernatural forces of energy that exist. They were talking more about like God and spirituality and like, how do you explain God? Because you know, it's God isn't like a man in the sky. Like, how do you explain the feeling, the essence, the experience
sky
of
daddy.
God? Yeah, no, not sky daddy, like no white beard. You don't say he's this dude in the sky with a white beard. The experience of God, they explained it as, you know, how do you explain the smell of a rose? Like, how do you explain something that is felt but is like a sense, is an experience that can't really be quantified in human words. And I think that the magic of the universe that we are talking about is similar to that. How do you explain that? And we're trying to explain how you can tap into it, but like to actually explain the experience of it, it's going to be your own unique magical experience. Yeah. And you'll know it when you hit it. But that's for you to find and dance with.
Yeah, that's the key. You have to practice this. It's one thing to think about these things logically as you're hearing us speak these words, and it's quite another to go out there and try them. And so we're hoping to give you some ways that you can do that so you can, like you said, dance with it and really experience it for yourself and let us know what you think. And I'm sure some of the things that we'll say you've maybe already considered or thought about. But so the first one we're going to talk about is abundance mindset. And just to kind of give you a little a little bit more, put a little more specificity around it. Abundance mindset is a perspective or a belief system that focuses on limitless opportunities, resources, and possibilities available in life. People with an abundance mindset believe there is enough or even more than enough to go around for everyone, and that success, wealth, happiness, and fulfillment are not limited resources. And if we need to look for proof of this, we can just look in nature. It exists everywhere, right? I know I use this idea of this example of the raspberry bush in my brother's backyard. Like, we didn't plant that thing. That thing is so abundant. I don't know where it came from, you know? But if you think about that, like just random flowers popping up somewhere, you know, or trees sprouting from acorns falling, like all of these things are just abundance that exists in nature. It's this natural magic. We don't know the exact details of how it got there necessarily, but it exists. It's there. And there's sort of two ways of looking at this. I think you can look at abundance mindset from a science-based perspective, or you can look at it from a spiritual perspective. And I think Aaliyah and I, we try to like find the middle ground all the time in these things. But the science-based is really like grounded in positive psychology and cognitive behavioral theories. It's really the power of positive thinking, resilience, and proactive behavior to create and attract abundance. Whereas the more spiritual side is about aligning your energy, your thoughts, and your intentions with the abundant nature of the universe, and thereby attracting abundance into our lives. So is there any way that you specifically practice abundance mindset in your life, Aaliyah?
Yes. I mean, not to harp on something that comes up almost every episode, but gratitude is certainly, if I'm in scarcity, if I'm like, you know, oh shit, I'm not succeeding here, I need money, this, blah, blah, blah. One of the first things I usually try and do is look to all of the things that I have and like how lucky I am and how grateful I am to be so abundant in my life. And I don't just mean physical things. I think that that's helpful because, I mean, I'm surrounded by beautiful, awesome physical things. But one of the things that I always really check in with and feel so grateful for is my inner experience of life and my awareness that I even have the choice to realize that I'm in scarcity, to choose to then appreciate that I can choose to have a different experience, that I can look elsewhere for where I am abundant already. That for me is such a wildly abundant quality to be able to have that awareness. And then I always include my friends and family because I really think that it's the relationships and the people in my life that at the end of the day are the most important thing. And so whenever I'm freaking out, if I think about how much I love my friends and my family, I'm like, God, if I lost everything but still had them, I would still be wildly abundant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And just for those of you who are listening who are like, you know the term scarcity mindset, but you're not maybe like exactly familiar. It's really this idea that there's a limit of what's possible. Things like, you know, there's not enough for everyone, or, you know, you're comparing yourself to others. You're focusing on constraints and barriers and that things can't change or that you can't change. Those are all fixed mindsets that are rooted in scarcity. And you can change those by reframing those thoughts around scarcity. You know, there's not enough time to do these things. There's more than enough time. Maybe there's an element of prioritizing what is actually the most important and focusing on those things. We're not going to be able to do everything, of course, but we can prioritize what feels the most energy giving to us.
Absolutely. I was just gonna say, depending on how you grew up too, you may have been modeled scarcity mindset, or you may have been modeled abundant mindset. And and we're also, you know, we're constantly fed in a consumerist society this narrative of like, you don't have enough, you need more, you need this to be okay, you need this to be okay. And so, you know, I certainly run the risk often of like, I need that thing to, you know, then I'll be abundant, then I'll be okay or whatever, you know, and it's, but I keep, because I'm in this place right now where I'm trying not to buy new clothes. I'm trying to remember that I have tons of things and that it's not the new thing that's going to make me feel good. It's like really, it's inside me and I can shop in my own closet and be just fine. And so when I catch myself being like, I need to buy that, you know, I live in a place where I walk by stores all the time and, you know, we're being fed stuff on Instagram and I love beauty. So I can run the risk of being like, that dress, that thing is going to make me feel like good. It's going to make me feel enough. It's going to make me feel abundant. So whenever I catch myself thinking like, that's the thing, now I try and pause and be like, okay, we're going to shelve that for a few days and look to how much you already have. And do you really need that? Is that really the answer to your abundance? Or are you already abundant? And we'll get into this, but when we are looking for how we are already abundant, we are creating an energy of abundance within us. It's kind of like a feedback loop where you are looking for it and you find evidence of it. And then you feel that, you feel excited, you feel abundant, and then you see more abundance as a result. It reminds me of when I was a kid and I used to play that punch buggy game. Did you ever play that where if you saw a Volkswagen Beetle, you would punch your friend in the shoulder and say like, punch buggy yellow, punch buggy green, punch buggy blue. I don't know if you ever played that.
I think it's like red car or like, you know, like that kind of idea.
Totally. It's like, it's basically like if you're going shopping for a red car and you want a red car, you start seeing red cars everywhere. Well, with abundance mindset, if you get in the practice of like looking at how abundant you are, you just, everywhere you go, you're like, oh my God, that beautiful thing. Like if I just start doing that around my house, like I really love beautiful things. I look around my, I love that pillow. I love that plant. I love that whatever. And it just starts to snowball and it can snowball in either direction. That's why it's a practice of like, how do we get in the energy of snowballing in the direction we want to snowball in? And then we start training our minds to look for it. And then our energy is like, I am so abundant. So we are more magnetizing and attractive to more abundance. We're more open to receive more abundance. And yeah, then we become a giant snowman of abundance.
Yeah. And that's really the positive psychology piece of that too, is like, if there's something that is bringing you joy, or even if you bought something at some point and it brought you a lot of joy and then it loses its luster, you can go back to those things and savor the goodness in them. You know, we've talked about that before, that idea of just savoring. You have a really good cup of coffee, you can savor it and you can like soak the most joy out of that thing in the moment. And that is abundance mindset in and of itself, because you're so abundant in the savoring of that thing.
I love the word savor so much. I would say another tactic that I like to use is I say awe. Like I like to look for like just the awe of the wild beauty that is life, you know, whether it's just the watching people interact at a grocery store or being in nature. I mean, it's everywhere. Like just the dew drops on a leaf, you can be like, oh, how uniquely beautiful is that? But it's just more of witnessing the abundance of beauty that exists all around us all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And just one more note on the scarcity mindset, and like a way that we do it, a sneaky way that we do it is where we get into comparison with ourselves and other people. And, or we think, you know, we're in competition, like, you know, why would I even bother to start this business? Or why would I even bother to like go to this event? I don't know, any of those things that we start to do, because we think, oh, everyone's already doing it. Like, you know, I can't, like that person's doing it better than I am. That's the whole reason why we did the first part of this episode, tuning into your own unique magic. Because if you're tuned into your own unique magic, there is no one like you. No one can do it the way that you can. And that is like so abundant. There's nobody like you. The fact that you were born, you know, like, and you do things and you've had all of your own life experiences to make you exactly who you are. That is abundance. And yeah, we can quickly reframe some of these scarcity mindset thoughts when we recognize how unique we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to bring it into a more kind of, let's say, world of consciousness, of energy, of spirit as well, because I think like gratitude and like awe and just looking at what is around you and within you is super helpful. For me, though, I also really like to take it into like plugging into what I believe to be true, which is that we are all connected by mm-hmm. the divine energy that is love. And mm-hmm. so it really helps me to tap in and to either meditate or pray or have some sort of connection to my the deeper me that is deeply plugged in and connected to the deeper you, to the mm-hmm. deeper everyone, to the deeper interconnectedness of Mother Nature, just mm-hmm. the huge web that connects us all, which I believe is love. And I think that if you're a spiritual person, or even if you're not, and it just feels good to get quiet and to connect with your essence, then that can be something that I think almost for me supersedes all of it. It's just like we're going right to the source of like plugging mm-hmm. in to the real magic.
Yep. Yep. And if you need a reminder on how to do that, listen to the last episode, the last mini-sode that we did. So the next one that we're going to talk about is the power of perspective. And me personally, I am, and Leah too, I'm drawn to this idea of magic. And so I see it everywhere and I find evidence. I'm always looking for evidence or reinforcement of my belief or literature that supports that. And it just happens that I find a lot of it because it's the act of priming where it's in my brain. So I'm finding sources of it. And I was reading this book recently, Lessons in Chemistry. I think that's a mm-hmm. great fiction book that a lot of people have read. It's very popular. And this was just like right before we were going to do this episode, in the quote says, having a baby, Elizabeth realized, was a little like living with a visitor from a distant planet. There was a certain amount of give and take as the visitor learned your ways and you learned theirs. But gradually their ways faded and your ways stuck, which she found regrettable because unlike adults, her visitor never tired of even the smallest discovery, always saw the magic in the ordinary. Mm. And I was like, ah, yes, of course. That's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we talked about that in the last episode, really, too. It's about this idea of stripping away all that is not us and getting back to the root of who we really are, which is that childlike essence that views the world with this type of perspective, you know, where you're looking for magic, you're looking for love, you're looking for whatever it is you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if life is really a giant mirror, like if what we are seeing and experiencing, if our reality is really as good as our perception of our reality, because it is, we're just projecting all of the stuff that we have in our experience of life, in our, you know, in our human mind, in our spirit, we're projecting it out into the world. And that is the reality that we're seeing and we're perceiving and we're experiencing. So if we want to perceive a different reality, we have the option of switching that up. And I think to what you just shared, Lauren, like so much of the success in that is peeling back the shit that isn't mm-hmm. us, that mm-hmm. isn't serving us. If we can peel mm-hmm. that back and get back to our true essence, then life will just reflect to us that magic that is our true essence all mm-hmm. the time. So mm-hmm. strip it back, peel it off. And then actively also choose, like we've talked about this before, but like perception is one of my favorite superpowers. And yeah, if I am in a bit of a funk or like if I'm judging, this is my biggest tell. If I am judging people, because I'm not a very judgy person, but if I get in judgy mode, I'm like, oh, you, we off, we're off here. We're in scarcity. We're in something. We are, we're in like, I expected things to be this way and they're not, and it's a problem. So if I'm in that judgy mode, if I catch myself, I will go, whoa, okay, Aaliyah, let's put on some different glasses and I'll decide if that's going to be like humor, beauty, whatever. And instantly, I swear, things I start looking for, because you put on beauty glasses, you start looking for beauty. And so the person that you're judging, you start looking how it's so beautiful the way they do this thing differently, this thing that you were like, that's so not okay that you're being that way. And it's just such an easy perceptual shift. And then the more you start looking for the beauty, the more you see, the more you experience, and it just, again, ripples out and out and out. And so, yeah, I think perception is such a superpower, and it really boils down to like choosing to do it differently and choosing to let go and shed those layers and parts that keep us from being our true, beautiful, shiny essences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember there's one line that popped out to me in one of the meditations, the Dr. Joe meditations that we did, which was, I can't remember what the first part of it was, but it said like, be the person that sees the hidden meaning behind all things. And to me, that's one of those things. It's like looking for meaning, like, oh, like if something in my life happens that's, you know, not great, I'm like, okay, what could be on the flip side of this? Like, what could be the benefit on the other side? What opportunity or possibility might exist in this situation? And like the idea of also looking for proof of where you've been supported in your past, or where like maybe in the moment it didn't feel like it. It felt like, oh my God, I just got fired, for example. Don't know anything about that. But just kidding, I do. But like, let's say it happened in that situation and it's like, you know, you looking back, you're like, oh my God, thank God. Like, thank God I needed a push out of the nest. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it for myself, right? So I think it's always looking for those ways that things line up just so to work out in our favor. And then we really take those things for granted. We just bypass them and move on to the next thing. And that, like when you look back and you put the puzzle pieces together, it's pretty freaking incredible the way the things that, you know, have lined up the way just so to get you to where you are.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That's such a great tactic to look back for evidence of how, you know, when you were in the shit, how it actually was the precursor to like so much awesome. I mean, this is a classic example for me, but like basically on the same day within a 24-hour period, I found out I was in a cult and also left a 9-year relationship. I mean, that's some big shit in 24 hours. And that
love it. Just dropped that in there, Aaliyah. Like just, we're gonna have to talk to you about casual. It a different time. But yeah,
have we not talked about the cult?
No, I don't think so.
Jesus. Okay, we'll have you guys stay tuned. We'll get into that another time. Yeah, yeah. Found out it was a cult and ended a 9-year relationship. That's was a hard, awful time, but that opened the door to the biggest flow down the river experience of my entire life, which brought me, you know, 6-7 years later now to where I am now, which I could not be more grateful. And it was like, it plugged me right back into myself, into my intuition in a way that I had not clearly been connected to for a long time. And thank God I went through that. Thank God I went through that. Oh, like that happened for me.
Yeah. So remember that, you know, if you're going through this shit right now, just know that there is magic on the other side. You don't know what it is yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And sometimes it will just take that perspective to see how everything lined up just so to help you get here. And if you're thinking about something, if you're trying to work something out in your brain, you can just ask a question. you ask a question out in the ether, you know, whether that's in a meditation, whether that's in your journal, whether that's, I don't know, to a tree, whatever it is for you, and start to look for clues, right? But the key is that we need to be present enough to translate that.
Yeah, I think a big thing that came to me when I was just thinking about this episode and what I wanted to share was that it's really hard to be present to the magic when we are in fight or flight. And I think so many of us are in some state of low-grade fight or flight all the time nowadays. Mm-hmm. I know that I was listening to a podcast yesterday and anxiety has gone up exponentially since the pandemic and has stayed that way. And I mean, this was not new, but it's just gone up even more. Yep. And I know for myself, I never identified as an anxious person. But when I got more embodied and started really tuning into my experience, my inner experience of life, I was like, whoa, we are constantly in a low-grade state of fight or flight. Like, go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Got to keep moving. Got to prove myself. Got to da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And so when we are in this state of fight or flight, our focus is narrowed. And we are in like, just gotta, you know, keep moving, gotta survive. So in order to tune into the magic, we have to tend to our nervous systems and be able to relax ourselves enough so that we can open our perception, open possibility, expand into what is available to us.
Yeah.
And I think a big precursor to really tuning into the universal magic and into our own magic as well is being able to relax ourselves enough so that we can be plugged in.
Yeah. And the same goes for scarcity mindset too. If we're thinking limiting thoughts and we're in scarcity mindset, our scope is so narrow that we cannot see beyond that. So simply reframing that, like even though it seems stupid to be like, there's not enough time, there is more than enough time, that at least starts to allow our brain to start to look for evidence that that might be true. So it might feel stupid when you're reframing these things, because trust me, it can. But that's not the end result. The end result is not, oh, you know, I have more than enough time. Okay, done. I'm done the exercise. No, that's the process of building to expand your awareness to take in more data. So I think that's a really key point. And then lastly, creativity. And this is kind of really a combination of a lot of the things that we've been talking about so far, but it's really, I think one of the biggest ways that you can tune into your creativity is getting back to that childlike state, that state of wonder, of curiosity, of being in the present moment, of accepting new information with delight, you know, all of that good stuff. And I think about the episode that we did with Autumn Sky, and she talks about how there is this idea of this cosmic icing, and the cosmic icing is the universal magic that we're talking about. And it's up to us as artists, as humans, to channel that cosmic icing, that universal magic through our own modalities, through our own bodies, through our own, you know, heart and soul, which she called your piping nozzle. If we're decorating a cake, you're channeling the cosmic icing to come through your unique piping nozzle and decorate your own world. And so it's a similar thing. It exists. It just is. It exists, period. And if you read any books on creativity, they're all talking about the same thing. We are all accessing this universal magic, this cosmic icing, bringing it into us, you know, in any way that we can. And you don't have to be an artist to do this. This is about just being open to receive and, you know, act as that channel, act as that vessel, really, for the magic to come and float through you.
I got a recycling truck outside. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes to all of that. And I think in order to do that, it's pretty simple. Follow what's fun. Follow what inspires you. Mm-hmm. Follow the threads, the breadcrumbs that tickle you, that like, ooh, I want to explore that. Ooh, I want to try that. Ooh, taking off those limitations on what feels good and juicy and just letting yourself play and explore. And I love how when we do that, it's unbelievable what breadcrumb can lead to another breadcrumb can lead to another. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're 10 steps down the way and we have a business or we have a, you know, something like we've met a person that's led to this and da, da, da. And we just, we can't know, but we can trust in the inspirations and the, the fun and the love and the magic and the play. We can trust that when we follow that, it is, we're, it's leading us down the river.
Absolutely. I think one of the quotes that I pulled from Rick Rubin's book is that we are all translators for the messages the universe is broadcasting.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that is the magic that like, that is abundance, right? Like that is the, we are meant to be abundant. We are meant to thrive, to, you know, connect in and receive all of that. And so if we are present, if we are open, if we are, you know, open to magic, to the perspective of that, and we can receive that, like the world is our oyster. We can create whatever we want. And yeah, for you, it's just really thinking, just following the little sparkles, the little glimmers that feel exciting and feel easy and playful and feel like you're floating downstream and not upstream. And another thing, just to go back to that idea of like, you know, being on our creative side of our brain versus our logical, rational, linear side of our brain. I was just revisiting the Morning Pages from The Artist's Way and looking at, you know, so the Morning Pages, for those of you who don't know, is just really the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is you free flow journal. You are not trying to write anything. You are just writing as fast as your little hand can go for 3 pages straight and you're just emptying your brain out. And essentially that is helping you get beyond your sensor, beyond your logical mind, because what's on the other side of that is the unknown, is this universal magic really that we can just start to channel to come to see what ideas want to float through us. We're getting beyond our sensor. And I love that because I think that's what we're doing with meditation as well. We're trying to get beyond our sensor and tap in, tune in to the messages that the universe is broadcasting.
Absolutely. We're basically clearing the channel so the icing can flow through.
100%.
Clean it out. Clean it out. Yeah. Let it flow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that as a practice. All of these things that we can do to bring us back to center, to clear the channel, to be able to take off the layers of have-tos and shoulds and ideas that we've kind of adopted, like these heavy coats because of the way we've grown up and whatnot. If we can remove those, we can clean the channel so that we can let it flow through. And then we get back to that childlike wonder and essence, mm-hmm. and everything is like, ah, magic. I'm a purple giraffe.
Totally. Today I was playing with Grant and we were in Santa's workshop all morning.
Yes.
We're busy. We're busy working. We're busy elves. We're getting things done.
Yes. You know? And how fun is that? Because like as adults, we'd be like, well, it's not Christmas time. No, doesn't matter.
No.
Anytime is Christmas time. No. Anytime is time to make presents for the people and deliver them.
It opened up a whole other like ball game of things we could talk about, of things that we could create, things that we were doing that were part of this world. Right. And it was super fun. So
just the best.
We hope that we've given you lots of ideas and things that you can try and ways that you can be really proactive to, you know, plant these seeds, to, you know, put your magic goggles on, to catch and recognize your scarcity and reframe some of that so that you can really tune into this universal magic, this abundance that exists, that is here for all of us, that we absolutely deserve.
Yes. Please, if you do anything, just follow the fun. Just keep following the fun and enjoy yourself. And we're so happy you're here weaving magic with us. We are so here for this interconnected experience that we believe we're all having, and we wanna put those waves out there for you guys to receive and throw it out into the world so that it ripples out and we all are just feeding each other with inspiration.
Yum, yum. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask us. We are here for you and we love this topic, as you know, so we'll be happy to help.
And we love you. Have an amazing, amazing, amazing day.
Go play!
At a time when we all need a second lease on life, an opportunity to begin again, to begin anew, to see ourselves differently, why for you was this the right time? Was this the right time?